Chapter 27. The Sonderkommando was awaiting the final blow. Day after day, week after week, month after month, terror had hovered over our heads, suspended by the thinnest of threads. And now, in a day or two, it would descend, bringing with it instantaneous death, leaving in its wake only a pile of silvery ashes. We were ready for it. Hourly we awaited the arrival of our SS executioners. Early in the morning of October 6, 1944, a shot rang out from one of the watchtowers, killing a Katzet prisoner who had strayed outside the neutral zone into the area between the first and second lines of guards that surrounded the camp. The prisoner, an ex-Russian officer, had been sent here for trying to escape from a prisoner of war camp. In all probability, he had been trying to escape again when the guard had fired on him. A political commission, headed by Dr. Mengele, proceeded to the spot to make the customary investigation. If the victim had been Jewish, his body would have been shipped directly to the morgue and thence to the crematoriums, and that would have been the end of the matter. But since this was a Russian officer, whose name and personal data were duly inscribed in the camp records, the same procedure could not be followed. An autopsy report would be required to explain his death. Following his on-the-spot investigation, Dr. Mengele had the body taken to the crematorium with orders that an autopsy be made. The report was to be ready by 2:30 p.m. Dr. Mengele would pick it up and check the findings by personally examining the body. It was 9 a.m. when Dr. Mengele left the dissecting room. I had the body placed on the table and would have completed the autopsy in 30 or 40 minutes if the date had not been October 6th, the last day but one of the Sonderkommando's allotted time span. We were not certain of anything, but I felt the imminence of death. Since I was unable to work, I left the dissecting room and went to my room, planning to take a healthy dose of sleeping tablets. I smoked cigarette after cigarette, my nerves completely shot. Unable to stay put, I crossed into the incineration room, where I found the Sonderkommando crew working half-heartedly, despite the fact that several hundred bodies were stacked up in front of the ovens. Small groups had formed, and the men were talking in whispers. I went upstairs to the commando's living quarters and immediately noticed that something was amiss. Normally, after morning muster and breakfast, the night shift turned in. Now, however, at 10 o'clock, everyone was still up. I also noticed that they were dressed in sport clothes with sweaters and boots, although the room was bright with a warm October sun. Here, too, many of the men were huddled, talking in whispers, while others moved about feverishly, arranging and packing their clothes in suitcases. It was obvious that some sort of plot was being hatched. But what? And we'll continue next week with Auschwitz, a doctor's eyewitness account. Peace.